precious. Listen,
building.
You are more than the air.
Listen, I close to my heart.
See her face and know that she sees.
Your reflection is more than you see. You are more than a phenom, lasting essence longer than eons in the plateau that we on.
Thank you for tuning in to Poetic Properties Podcast. I am your host, Complex the Poet, author, entrepreneur, and father. I'm so grateful that you guys tune in to me week after week. Really appreciate it. But it's been a very difficult journey for me. I'm getting a little bit more comfortable week by week. But it's just about learning how to believe in yourself and put... just put your creativity to work and not be afraid to release it to the people. I'm finding so much joy in doing my podcast, creating apparel, working on new material for a new poetry book, practicing my cadences for, a new album. It's a lot of stuff that I have going on, and I'm just excited to be able to do that. It's crazy because it wasn't always like this. It was always, I'll get to it. And then I never got to it. And then once I really sat down and started working on my apparel line, I started working on actually putting the albums together, started working on really piecing the book together to really put it out for the people. I start realizing that that's where my peace is. Like I'm a workaholic when it comes to working for other people. And I always said, I'm gonna start my own business. I'm gonna do poetry. I'm gonna do this video. I'm gonna do that. And it's just it never happened. If you guys been following me since the first episode, you guys know that I lost my daughter December 24th of 2019. And in that moment, like, she taught me time, right? Because she had no time on earth. And I don't want to get into that because I don't want this to be a sad pot, but I just want to express the gratitude that I have for the lesson learned through death, which is time, the value, the true value of it, and being able to convert that lesson and realistically sit down and be creative and release. It's really hard to create through stress, but you got to believe in yourself. And for me, a lot of things that I had on my mind to create and do, I always cared about, like, are people going to like it? And so that turned into a stressful thing. It turned into not necessarily me seeking attention, but being afraid to put it out because of attention. I know that doesn't make sense, but I'm weird in that way. So it's like, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying, but I don't want you to pay attention to me. It's really weird. But when my daughter passed, it was like, everything that I feel in my mind that brings me peace, everything that creative wise that I feel like is a valid, a valid thing. I'm not just writing on the wall and being like, oh, that's what I'm gonna do next. But more so, it's stuff that I've been passionate about, but just kind of had that fear of people's opinion. And once I sat down and really, like, I'm gonna do this pod, or I'm gonna create apparel, or I'm gonna put out books, or I'm gonna finally put my albums out, and I didn't care. And let me say this correctly. I believed more in what I was saying and more in what I was putting out than I did of the possibility of getting negative feedback. Because every single thing on earth is perspective. Somebody might think, I have the best stuff. Somebody might think I have the worst stuff. It's your opinion. But the thing is, it's your opinion. That shouldn't stop me from finding peace and believing in myself and trying to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish creatively. I've been writing poetry since the 10th grade. And up into February, I think it was February of last year, is when I really start like going hard. Like for real, like, all right, I'm about to do this. And then the situation happened with my daughter, and I kept on feeling like I got to do something. I have to keep my mind busy, but I didn't want to keep my mind busy and things that were going to just vanish after I was kind of able to calm down. You know, fighting through depression, it's difficult to be creative, but it's worth the fight. So if anybody is out there that's struggling with creativity, going through depression, going through anything, just know it's worth the fight. If the idea and the content is valuable to you, you never know how it could help others. So just believe in yourself and allow that belief to just plant a seed. Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes, you know, you can have like the best idea and be so scared, and it just takes a smidget of release for you to realize like, oh, you're really reaching someone. You're really helping someone. That goes to yourself, to people around you, especially if you are a parent. Make sure that you are being an example of strength, of peace, of fight, of creativity. Like, we're all scared, but teach your kids, you know, the teach your kids to believe in what they want, even when it's scary. Believe in their ideas, even when it's scary. I always think about this from when I was little. Like when we were little, I'm the youngest of my mom's three kids, right? So my eldest brother, he really didn't care about video games and stuff like that. And I only cared about video games because my brother Duck liked video games. But my brother Duck, him and my cousins, they were really good at video games. Like, really good. Well, yeah, they was really good. They was really good at video games. But we came up in an era where it was, get your butt off that game. You ain't about to be in here playing a game all day, right? This is the 80s. You're gonna kill your brain cells. All you doing is here is playing a video game. Da 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 da. Fast forward to, you know, 2010, people are making millions, gazillions of dollars. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, my brothers and my cousins would have been video game developers, designers, and stuff like that, but because our parents was raised in a generation to feel like video games, TV, all that, you know, having the computer games and stuff like that, felt like it was rotting our brains, and that there would never be a way to be financially stable for that. They pushed us more towards sports, right? And again, I'm not saying my brothers and my cousins were like, oh, I'm gonna be a video game developer when I grow up, but because the generation we were raised in, you know, our parents are the generation that our parents was raised in, they stifled that portion of our creativity, assuming that it was killing our brain cells. When in actuality, you know, it develops something else in you. It helps playing video games helps with your creativity. So it's important that you will tell your kids and you teach and you help your kids to believe in themselves and nurture their passions. Like, don't be the guy that's like, you know, I play sports. Like for me, I was really good at football. I was really good at track. Like, I was really good. The issue was my grades, right? Because once I got a whiff of females, all that went out the window. Wasn't focused on school, really just trying to be cool and stuff. And it's crazy because the people you're trying to be cool for, low key, they're doing their homework. You know what I mean? They're studying for SATs. They're turning homework on time. They're not ditching. They're not doing this stuff. And you're trying to be cool for them. And then you end up in a position to where you lose out. So I don't force my kids to play sports. Like everybody, oh, you got boys, they should play sports, this, that, and the other. Whatever they're interested in, that's what I'm interested in. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to take their creativity. I don't want to stifle their creativity. I don't want to stifle their passions and tell them this is going to kill your brain cells or not necessarily, because I don't want to make it like my mom was on our case. They pretty much were just like, get outside. Like, y'all not about to stay in here all day. But teaching your kids to believe in themselves and nurturing their passions. Like I have a son I've been knowing since he's been two. He's going to be into fashion. I've been like the way he's dressed since he's been able to dress himself, the way he's talked to us, the way he's done all this other stuff within who he is. It's just something that we already know. Like we as a family just look at him like, oh, okay, that's the type of time you want. My other son, all he's ever wanted to do was be Iron Man. So, in essence, he wants to be an engineer. To this day, that's what he does. He breaks stuff. He puts stuff together. That's it. Like, at first, yeah, I would be like, boy, stop taking the TV apart. Or why'd you break this or break that? But he'll put it back together. So, I had to start paying attention to that and saying, okay, cool. What can I do? So, you know, I told my mom. I told my brother. Hey, he really liked building stuff, puzzles, robots, Legos, whatever. So they've sent mad Legos, mad puzzles, you know, stuff to help nurture that. You see what I'm saying? Like right now, my oldest, he's into clothing. He's into design, art, stuff like that. I have not an ounce of art in me, but my brother does. So him and my oldest and my brother Doug, they talk. He ask him questions. He give him ideas. I'll call my brother, say, "Hey, Lil Kev, da 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 da." He'll help. I'm not forcing them to play sports. My brother is a legend at his college. He's a legend from our city. He don't force my sons, his nephews, to, oh, you need to play sports like Uncle Duck. You need to do this like Uncle Duck. It's by example of who he is to them and who I am to them that they chose the things that they wanted to do. So it's up to us not to force them to be athletic. Me and my brothers play sports because that's what it was. Like we grew up in the hood. It's either you gangbang or you ball. And that and unfortunately we was a part of a lot of stuff. But we made it out to a place to where now we have kids and now we can look at them and see what they want to do, how they want to do it, and then we could nurture it. Like that's a big part of being a parent, being a mentor, an older sibling, is making sure that you are leading properly, making sure that when they're watching you, make sure they're getting good traits. I mean, nobody is perfect and they got to learn from the mistakes that you make. But all in all, you got to make sure that you're creating the atmosphere for them to be themselves. That's one thing that I try my hardest to make sure for my kids is that they're doing the things that they want to do and not the things that they think make me happy. Like that's really big. And a lot of us come up with parents that feel that way about us. Like, no, I want you to do something that's going to make me happy. A lot of athletes and stuff, I feel sorry for them because, yeah, they're good at sports and, you know, they've gotten their grades and got through college and stuff like that. But some of these guys that don't make it professionally, it's like that's all their parents ever wanted from them. And sometimes they get into a high level of depression, feeling like they failed. And that's not cool. We should all have the opportunity to be who we are supposed to be for ourselves. And if in that we're able to be successful, then we should be able to take care of our family. It shouldn't be because I could be good at track, but my parents want me to play football. So because I'm afraid to disappoint them, I play football, but I don't make it. But I possibly could have made it to the Olympics because I was that much better at track than I am football, but I didn't want to disappoint. And now, because I didn't make it in football, I'm lost. I feel like, man, my parents are going to look at me a certain way. My people are going to look at me a certain way. So it's like, for me, I dealt with that mentally, not from my parents looking at it a certain way, but for me looking at it a certain way. And the talents that I had coming up, and just knowing that I could have done something athletic wise. But I'm grateful for the journey that I've been on, because I found who I am, you know, in doing what I love doing, which is poetry, being an author, being a father, being an entrepreneur, creating product, and just seeing how people react to the things that I give them. I want to just, like, it's so important for self-reflection and self-care. It took me a while to get there, because I was so in need of other people, and not other people, because I'm, if you know me, you know I hate people. I dislike. I'm an introvert, and I get real bad anxiety when I'm in a group of people, or unknown space or stuff like that. So I've always looked for a relationship. Like, no matter what, I've always been in a relationship. It doesn't matter. It wasn't until, you know, my last ex that I really had to stop, because the intensity of that situation was really, really hot. And I found myself being so close to her that when it was over, it was like it was something missing. And that's because I dive head first, right or wrong, into such an intense feeling. And I never really took time for self-care, self-awareness, self-reflection. That's why I think I talked about either the last episode or the one before about accountability. Like, we all have to get to a place where we can peacefully hold someone accountable for their actions, but also hold yourself accountable peacefully. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of times it's an argument, it's a debate, because egos get in the way. But there's honestly a way where you could, you know, peacefully say, hey, this is not me, this is you, or this is me. So for me, I pulled back, I took time and was just comfortable with just being me. And I started reading books about self-care. I started, you know, meditating more. I started believing in who I was as a person. I started saying, you know what? This is where you can change. This is where you're wrong at. This is this way of approaching things is incorrect. This is where you need correction. I'm not a person who needs, and I don't say who needs, but I'm very good at correcting myself. You see what I'm saying? I'm not a person who requires someone to hold me accountable. I'm the opposite. I'm someone, like, I need someone who's able to hold them accountable, because I'll take it all. So now for me, I meditate. Like I've said, you know, I pray. I do breathing exercises. All these things I learned through fighting through the depression, but things that I've been needing before depression set in, and possibly things that if I was doing prior to fall into the depression, I could possibly have not fallen into it. So it's very important to hold yourself accountable. It's very important to self-reflect, for self-care. It's very important that you just pull away from things that are unnecessary in your life. I have a policy for me. Anything that alters my energy in a negative way, and I don't want to sound childish, but I can't deal with you. And not that, all right, if we get into an argument, I'm never going to talk to you again. But I'm not going to argue. Like, I'm not going to argue. And sometimes that's a detriment to who I am, because sometimes it might be worth the argument, because for whatever reason, society says, you know, when you're arguing and passionate, you know, that means something. And I've heard a lot of people say, if I'm arguing, that means I care. And, you know, you need to care about if I'm silent. But for me, it's like, you need to care if I'm arguing. Because I don't care about a lot of stuff. I'm very much an unconditional lover in who I am. I won't let you disrespect me, but it's unconditional. Once I have given you my love, I'm a strong believer that the love never goes away. It's just the intensity of it. It's just the degree of which, it's the degree in which you move towards that person that changes. If I've ever said that I was in love with somebody or love somebody, love is still there. It's just a little bit different. The intensity is gone. But it's about being able to recognize that and be peaceful and be aware of that. And a lot of people are unable to have that self-reflection because they depend on so much. They depend on the audience. A lot of people depend on the audience, and that's why there's a lot of emotional issues, and there's a lot of hurt, because a lot of people, they don't know how to self-reflect. They don't know how to hold themselves accountable, and they require people to hold them accountable. And I feel like once you get to a certain age, it's like, you got to be able to do that yourself. Like, I live by this, and people laugh at me. I live by patience, purpose, and order. Everything that I do, patience, purpose, and order. I don't complain a lot. I'm human, so some, you know, I might slip up here and there. I might feel a way, something negative may come out of my mouth. But for the most part, it's patience, purpose, order. I don't get caught up into anything like bad that happens to me. I feel like for the dirt that I've done in my life as a human being, at some point in time, you have to pay for the wrongs that you've done. And sometimes it hits you in different ways. So when things happen to me, I look at it like, dang, like, it's a purpose for it. That must be payback for something that I did when I was a teenager. That must be payback to something that I said to someone out of anger, out of hurt, just trying to hurt them or whatever. That may be this or that, but everything in my life is already done that's supposed to be for me. And I'm talking from the best things to the worst things. It's already done. It's just up to me to meet at the right time in my timeline for it to either go up or go down. Like, for me, I feel like finding my passion and creating the apparel, finding my passion and really expressing the poetry, really, you know, recording the albums, really recording the pod. I feel like I'm doing something right for the first time in my life. Like, I feel like I'm on the right path of what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know which one is going to hit, but something's going to hit because I'm giving all the effort. You see what I'm saying? I'm giving, like, when it hit my mind creative wise, and I vetted out, like, is this something that I want to do? Is this something that I can handle and maintain? And I put it out. I feel like once you give things to the universe, then you're gonna get what you put out. So if I sit here and believe that the negative that I put out or the negative that comes to me is from the negative I gave back then, I'm destined to get the positive. So as bad as I do in the negative, because I've given so much in the positive through, you know, through whether it be donations, mentoring, helping, just helping people in general, whether it be any of that, all those good things, they're going to come back to me. It may not be from the person that I did the good to, but it's going to come back to me. I'm a strong believer of that. So I'm just patient, just waiting my turn. I don't hate nobody's success. I don't hate nobody's come up, no matter how they came up. And that's the honest to God truth. It's crazy to me, because in my self-reflection, I'm proud of myself about that. I don't care which one of my friends, my siblings, I don't care, parents, co-workers, whether it be promotion, hitting a lotto, going on vacation, buying new cars. So I never look at nobody like I wish that was me. I never do. I'm always, like, when I say, like, I'm proud of you, or, man, that's tight, I mean that with no malice in me. Because that's who I've been working on being. You see what I'm saying? I come from nothing. So when other people get something, it's not a jealous thing. I come from nothing. So I'm excited, because I know a lot of people that's coming up, they came from nothing too. It's just their turn. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of people can't operate like that. So for me, it's just patience, purpose, and order. I'm gonna congratulate you. I could have $10 in my pocket and you could win $3,000. I'm not going to ask you for nothing. And I'm not going to expect you to be like, man, I won $3,000. I know you said you're... Nah, I'm not even going to tell you I only got $10. Because I'm not going to steal your joy. I'm not going to steal your peace. Like, I don't understand that about people. And that's another thing about self-awareness and self-correction. A lot of people want to be in competition with you. A lot of people, you know, it's like, man, I'm doing bad, yada, yada. Oh, I'm doing bad too. Man, I just, you know, I got a promotion. They gave me a dollar. I got me a promotion too. It's like, it's not a competition. You got to find people. You either got to find people that are genuine and are capable of self-reflection and self-accountability, or you got to rock by yourself. Because it's going to, like, once you get to a certain place mentally, it's going to drive you crazy when you really need someone to talk to. And then it's a them thing. Or if you really want to share something with you want to share some positivity with someone, and then they try to out positive you. And so when people don't have that self-awareness and that self-accountability, their mind, it's always a competition. I'm very detached emotionally to a lot of things, which sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing, because for me, because I'm so detached, I'm able to be whatever emotion you give me. So if you need somebody to talk to, I'm detached. So of course you're gonna pour all that on me. Excuse me, you're going to pour all that on me, and I'm going to be able to listen and give you sound advice, because I'm not emotionally involved. Like, I'm listening to you from a place of, like, you need somebody to talk to, you need advice, not somebody that you need to go head to head with and be emotional to. Same thing on a positive. If you telling me something positive, I'm going to listen to you naturally. Yeah, you're going to reflect about what's positive in your life. But a lot of times people just don't get it. It's everybody has a turn for everything. And sometimes I don't know how to get that across, because I come off as stoic and closed off, because I don't share a lot of things with people. But it's more of a, it's your turn. I always say this, and it's a frustrating thing to have. All my life, and, like, you know, people are like, why you always exaggerate and da 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 da, and it's just like, I don't exaggerate. Like, if you go over the history of who I am, right? I could say something simple as yo, it's a black cat outside right now shooting hoop. Right? Sounds crazy. And everybody look at you. If I say it's a black cat doing a backflip over the rim, people gonna go outside. So they, it becomes an exaggeration because you don't listen to regular logic. And that comes with self-awareness. That comes with self-reflection for you to be able to listen to someone and speak to someone with clarity. You got to be able to either mingle with like-minded people or you got to be able to rock alone. And it's crazy that we even got here, because that's not even what I kind of wanted to talk about at all. I just wanted to speak on self-awareness, because I've had many conversations over the past month, 2-3 months or stuff like that, and people don't understand that I'm still grieving. Like, I lost a child, right? And I had to sit down and meditate for myself to say, you know what? They don't get it. They never lost a child. So you don't understand how much it hurts. You don't know how, you know, everybody is going on with their day to day, right? Everybody is going on with their day to day of life, you know? We see the people, we see what's going on in the world right now. And we forget to think about the people who were already going through something and how they're coping with that now compounded on everything that they're going through. Like, I'm still grieving, but I still have to be regular, because the next person don't understand the pain. They don't understand the pain you're in. So I'm clear face, high, I'll laugh or what have you. But on the inside, I'm torn up. It's a daily reminder. I lost a child. I'll never be over it. But because I understand within self-reflecting, I understand people don't get it. They don't realistically, it's like, all right, he lost a child. But also realistically, how much could that really hurt? That's how people just talk to you normal, like nothing ever happened. And like I said, in my meditation time, in me trying to be a better me, you know, I constantly am, you know, having this time with myself to say they don't get it. And that's fine. So I have to recalibrate my emotions when I'm having conversation with people, because they think I'm regular and they think that, you know, that it's no more pain. It's, you know, everything is cool, and it's not, but it is, because self-awareness. I'm not gonna be rude and mean because you don't understand what I'm going through. Everything I meant for everybody to go through. Sometimes you gotta travel alone. You feel me? So it's not for your friends to go through. It's not for your family. And I don't want at all to sound as if people who understand my loss, or people who are close to me don't understand my loss. But life is life, and you know, things happen. And it's important to be aware of that. It's important to be aware of who you are, how you handle emotions, how you give off emotions, how you are perceived. You have to take a lot of time to create the accountability for yourself, and you got to believe in who you are. You got to believe in who you are. It's life. You know, life is a crazy, crazy journey. And it's so many twists and turns and peaks and valley, and we have to learn so much and sometimes so little time. And certain things grow you up quick, certain things keep you younger than you should, but it's just all about being accountable, believing in yourself, making sure people around you have an example to fight for themselves, to be who they want to be. If you are responsible for anybody, relationship, parents, kids, whatever, you have to be that example so they can gain that strength to keep pressing, keep moving, keep believing. It's hard out here for everybody right now. It's hard out here enough, you know, with all the killings, the coronavirus, people that are already sick from other stuff, terminal illness. It's so emotional right now. And we as we as people in general, we got to start being good examples. We got to start teaching our kids, you know, the real right from wrongs. We got to stop raising kids and start raising human beings. I think that's a lot of problems that we have, is that we look at these kids and the reason why a lot of stuff isn't changing and things are staying the same generation after generation is because we're raising kids. Like for me, I'm raising human beings. So I get at my kids like realistically. There's no goo-goos and ga-gas. This is what life is. This is what can happen to you out there. And we go from there. Everything that I do that affects their life, we have a round table. Whether it be me getting in a relationship, me getting out of a relationship, me moving, me, you know, like me wanting to move out of the state or stay in the state, we wanting to move to another city to buy a car, because everything that I do affects them. Everything. I'm not one of them parents that's like, do what I do because I said it, because sometimes parents be stupid. And I mean that with all due respect. Like sometimes parents be saying stuff that are just not logical. And it's just like, at what point do you give your kid respect enough to make a correct decision and to tell you, hey, you wildin'. And my self-awareness, I've allowed that. Like I don't put my hands on my kids. I will if they start wilding out, but I don't put my hands on my kids. And my rule is, if I tell you to do something, you got one chance to change my mind. And if what you say to me is logical, then I'm gonna be like, all right, cool. And my kids could attest, they've won a lot of times where I say something outrageous and they'll be like, but dad, boom, 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 boom. And I'll be like, you know what? You're right. But that all comes with believing in who you are, being a good example to them, teaching them how to hold themselves accountable and how to hold someone else accountable peacefully and respectfully. And that's what it's all about. Thank you guys for tuning in. Poetic Property Podcast. It's all love. I hope you guys are all doing well mentally. If not, stay strong. I'm here. Like I said, leave a comment. Hit me up on IG, Poetic Properties Podcast. Or hit me up on Twitter, Poetic Properties. Again, thank you for tuning in. Peace and love. It's complex.